Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. This evening we have our feature podcast, The Attic. Yeah, that's right. Once a week, we give you Patterson's Own. We put together a show that is designed to be entertaining and hilarious as well. So sit back, relax, while co-producer, the messenger, baby sister, baby brother, Nurse Carmen, Sister Purr, and Sister Sunshine entertain you for the next 60 minutes. Enjoy the show. Yeah, did I nail it? That's what I'm saying. Baby bro, are you okay now? Was it scratchy?
No comment. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, good evening, everybody. That's right. We got the podcast, The Attic, going live tonight. We've got the full crew and cast. And again, we've got a I could just say that all night. We got a very special guest with us tonight. The person that makes all this possible, my own dear sweet mother. She up late at night hanging out with The Attic. So, hey, let's give Mom Dukes a strong J because she hanging out.
Hey, Mom.
Hello. Hey. Whatever books.
Welcome to The Attic.
Yeah, welcome to the show, my dude. Hey, how you doing tonight, mother?
I'm blessed.
Hey, listen, what we're going to do. I'm sorry?
Okay. Hello to my mother.
Oh, okay. All right, we good. Everybody, yeah, get your hellos into my dudes. Hey, what we're going to do tonight while I have my mother up with us for a little while, we're going to do a podcast tonight on Black History Month, but we're going to do it in August. I'm sorry, we're going to do it in October like it was supposed to. We thought about it in August, but we're going to do it right now, Black History Month in October. But before we start, Mom, I was wondering if you could just share with the audience, share with the podcast, what it was like growing up in the South. Again, because we're going to talk about Black history. Let's talk about some real history right now. Can you give us a few minutes of what it was like growing up in the South?
It wasn't a good life to live, but you made it. Things were much different there than it is worse here. It wasn't that Black people had the opportunity as they have now.
Hmm.
But praise God, we made it. It was plenty of love, understanding, families, gatherings. And it wasn't just once a year. It was every day.
Yeah, that was like, I do remember that. Like, it was like almost customary that we was going over by Envy Rand's house. And we was going by somebody's house to keep that family unit tight. Yeah, you missed that. That's not like that anymore today.
That's true.
So, I mean, when growing up in this... I'm sorry, go ahead, Mother.
There was plenty of love growing up and being and living that type of life. They didn't have much, but whatever they had, they was willing to share it from house to house. And families was very united together.
Mm. You don't think it's like that today, Mother?
No, it's not. Not.
Hey, I, you know what? What do you think we need to do to get it back, Mom? How can we get it back?
Well, there's a lot that everybody has strayed away. As the family grow up, they go their different ways and they don't come together like they used to. like holidays and certain days family was away. Some would leave south and come north. But Thanksgiving and certain days of holidays, which we know there's not that much meaning to holidays, but that's when they had time to leave jobs and come and meet with their family love.
I was just giggling.
So would you say people are more for? Would you say people are more for just self, going for themselves?
Well, it's not so much are they for themselves now. Just they seem to be busy and they don't make that sacrifice like they used to.
Okay.
That was always a special day: Christmas, New Year's, Easter. Certain days it doesn't matter what time what. You would be doing those was days that was made especially for family to come together.
Hey, well, listen, Mon Dukes, I can't tell you how much I really, really, really appreciate you hanging out with us and getting the attic started. It was an accident the last time when we had a guest appearance from you. But this time we take it back to the whole show was designed. We take it back to when we were all home. And we would just get together and go up in the attic, whether on 40th Street, Wayne Avenue, and just kick it like brothers and sisters do. So I don't want to keep you up too late, my mother. You know I love you. So you have a wonderful evening, and I really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you. I enjoyed this few minutes. God bless
Thanks,
you,
Mom.
And I pray that you will continue on in love.
Yes, Mom. We definitely going to do that.
Good night.
All right, love you.
Good night. Bye-bye. Love you. Good night.
Hold on.
Well, let's get this party started.
We're checking right now for maximum exit from the thing here. Hold on while I check. All right, here we go. Hey, I really appreciate my dudes hanging out with us tonight. It's so funny. All of us are grown and then some, but when Mom's got on the phone, we talking in low tone. ain't nobody saying
so
shit.
True.
I was sitting up in my chair straight as shit. I'm like, let me get my back straight. She gonna know I ain't sitting up. But hey, that's that motherly love, yo. But like I said,
absolutely.
Let's get right back over to our show topic for tonight. Again, you know, we talk about a lot of things on this podcast. We go pretty hard on the whole political atmosphere, and we need to. But tonight, let's just turn our shift or turn our focus to some Black history facts that people should know but don't know. And hopefully, as we start to put more of this kind of information out, again, this is all designed to make you feel good about you. Everybody on board?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Okay. But I got to say one more time, I think that opening was tight. I really do. But anyway, here we go.
I agree, bro.
There's a lot of pressure on. Hey, listen. First, little-known Black history fact. Before there was Rosa Parks, there was a young lady by the name of Claudette Colvin. Most people think of Rosa Parks as the first person to refuse to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. There was actually several women who came before her, one of whom was Claudette Colvin. In March 2nd, 1955, this 15-year-old schoolgirl refused to move to the back of the bus 9 months before Rosa Parks made her stand. Claudette had been studying Black leaders like Harriet Tubman in the segregated schools. Those conversations had led to discussion around the current day Jim Crow laws. But Claudette Colvin Stan didn't stop there. She was arrested, thrown in jail. She was one of the four women who challenged the segregation law in court. Just an interesting fact, because, you know, our history
just keeping it nothing but positive. Our history is so hidden from us for reasons that I really can't put a finger on. But if we start to learn our history and our culture, I'm telling you, man, I mean, and again, it don't make you better than anybody else. It just makes you a better you. And if every, you know, excuse me, messenger, I'm not going to get you started. But I'm going to open the show up with, that's my first little known black history fact that people don't understand. Rosa Parks wasn't the first one. Bless her soul. We're not taking anything from Rosa. But she wasn't the first one. So it just goes to show that that struggle was real before Rosa Parks got the spotlight on it. That was my first.
16?
Yeah, she was 16. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, she had brother Martin.
Really young to have taken a stand like that. Wow.
Yeah, she had brother Martin behind her at the time. That's why she wasn't recognized. That's why Rosa got recognized as it, because Martin. That's when Martin came and put his voice to it when they got to Rosa.
But again, you know, I just think that the bigger point there is for people to know. I mean, we've been struggling for a period of time, and usually the event that makes it popular is not the event that got it started. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
Well, that was interesting because I didn't know that. I don't know about anybody else, but I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, I got some more stuff. I got a whole lot of stuff researching. Well, how about this? Oh, excuse me, I won't hog the microphone. Anybody else want to share a Black History moment?
Well, I have one. I'm sorry, does somebody want to go? Go ahead.
I get it, babe.
No, I particularly was interested in this woman. Her name is Patricia Bass, and she was the first African American ophthalmologist. And and as I said, I was interested in that because she invented the laser optics, like for cataracts to get those removed off your eyes. She invented that. Yeah, and to me that's huge because you know, we have family members. I know, you know, we have family members that that have that issue, you know, with cataracts and have had to have laser surgery. And I'm sure somebody, if you don't know someone in your family, or you may know other people that have had to use that.
Yeah.
And absolutely. To know that that was invented by a black woman, that was awesome to me. And she also was the first African-American woman to hold a patent in the medical field, and also the first African-American woman to be a head of a medical department.
Wow.
You know, and at the age of 16, she was a part of a cancer research. And, you know, and like I said, I just thought that was awesome. You know, I just never knew that that was something that was invented by a black woman.
Wow.
See, and again, man, we gotta try to keep that history out there. Again, this is the kind of stuff that should be taught in schools. This is the kind of stuff that, again, it's just about pride in oneself, man. And when you understand that you come from a rich background, rich heritage, it should make you want to do a little better. You're not going to go from night to day, but you'll do a little better in life.
Right.
I'm just putting that on there. Mm. Well,
hey, does anybody know who Benjamin Banneker is?
Who invented what?
Does anyone know who Benjamin Banneker is?
I said, that was my man.
That too,
Timex stole his patent, right? The almanacs, the clocks. That's my man, right?
Right.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's what I said. Timex stole his patent.
Right.
Hey, hold on. You ain't gonna need that. Let me get that up off you real quick. Hey, all right, we'll check this out. The earliest recorded protest against slavery was by the Quakers in 1688. They was known as the Society of Friends. They got had a long history of abolitionists. But it was four Pennsylvania friends from Germantown who wrote the initial protest in the 17th century.
Wow.
Protests against slavery and human trafficking was presented at a monthly meeting in Dublin. And they went on protests about it. So the Quakers started this anti-slavery protest. I'm sure that they was motivated by the slaves who were enslaved. But hey, 1688. Just some interesting facts to put out there. How you doing, Sister Sunshine?
I'm doing well, thank you. Sister Carmen forgot about me.
Oh. Okay. Well, watch this. Give us some Black History facts, Sister, because I know you loaded.
Oh, I was one. There was a story that I've heard over the years, but I found the whole. I found some of the information. It's a story called "The White Witch of Rolls Hall," and it's a house in Jamaica, and a white woman owned it. And three of her husbands died questionably. And then after the last husband died, she had it was a plantation in Jamaica. And she had the plantation. And Johnny Cash made wrote a song about her, because he actually has, that's a sidebar. He actually has a house he lives in one of the houses on the property. But anyway, so the story goes that at nighttime she would bring some of the gentlemen slaves into her bed quarters for companionship. And the next day she would feel bad and kill them. And then she kept doing that repeatedly, and then the slaves rose up. It was a revolt. It was one of the biggest revolts in the island of Jamaica against a white slave owner, and they killed her. And they took over the plantation, and her body is buried on the plantation in one of those mausoleum type things above the ground, and. The story goes that she haunts the plantation, because now it's used as like a hotel. It's been built up because like the stuff that they used to grow there is no longer there. So it's like a hotel resort, and they have weddings and all kind of stuff there. But the story goes that she haunts the plantation and their guests.
Mm. Interesting.
What is the verse?
This is over in Jamaica?
Huh?
This was in Jamaica. Is that what you said?
Yes.
In Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Jamaica, Queens or Jamaica?
Jamaica, Jamaica.
Jamaica, Queens or Jamaica?
He said, no, I know people out there in Jamaica, Queens.
We're not coming from Zamunda. Huh? We're not coming from Zamunda. I came.
And they believe she killed her husband too, because
she
had like three.
Is this the plantation that she lived on with her? With
the third husband.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The first husband was building it, and then he died. The second husband, another husband, was building like land on it. You know, but they always had the land. Like, she always had the land, but then, you know, it had to be a man associated with it. And then her second husband came on, and he was building it right before construction started. He died. And then she married another one. It said she smothered two of her husbands for their money. Like, she was a black widow.
Oh, okay.
She
went
to the black
okay.
widow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She mates, and then she kills.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. And she would do like she, huh?
He said that like he was a scientist. She mates and then
oh.
she kills.
But she was kind of But she was kind of crazy. She used to have like voodoo rituals performed in there, so the souls of the dead slaves wouldn't come out of their graves. She was like kind of crazy.
Wow. So a lot of that
in our
huh? history as well. You know, the voodoo and all that kind of stuff. It was a lot of that going on back in those times. Well, still does,
right.
actually.
Yeah, but then,
right.
they were smoking that shit, though. I mean, you know, they were smoking that shit. We don't know if it was actual. We don't know if it was actual voodoo or some shit they might have thought was voodoo, you know, and just passed it on. Because notice, no voodoo went down without them passing that pipe. AKA, they had a bong back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Has anybody ever heard of Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson?
Who's Shirley Ann Jackson?
Anybody never heard of her?
No.
She's one of the first black women to graduate with a PhD from MIT.
Okay, there you go, Shirley.
And not only that, but she created the portable fax machine, caller ID, call waiting, and the fiber optic cable. That's all
what
her did. Her did all.
That was she done.
That was her done.
See, and again, the history is rich, folks. The history is rich, and there's nothing wrong with understanding that. You know, like the cartoon character Betty Boop. Everybody know Betty,
right.
remember Betty Boop?
Yeah.
That was
mm-hmm.
a black woman.
But
Esther
after a
Jones.
Black woman, yeah.
Yeah. But they don't know that. And it's just a cartoon character.
Mm.
But they don't know that.
They know they weren't shaped like that, though.
Yeah. All right, so they had an idea. So they were throwing hints out there.
They had an idea.
What about this? In 1892, I'm sorry, in 1920, a black woman was the first licensed African-American pilot. Her name was Betsy Coleman. I had the years all messed up. I'm working from memory a little bit. And a computer screen. But yeah, first black.
Yeah, I read that last night.
You read that?
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, okay, man. You was on your homework. Well, check this out. Did you know, we talk about black history, interracial marriage in the United States was banned in 1664. And not overturned until 1967.
Yeah, that couple out of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They made a movie about that, right?
Yeah, they sure did.
Mm-hmm.
They
did. Yep. Yep. Do anybody know who Elijah McCoy is?
No.
Okay, everybody gets one. He was an inventor of the automatic lubricating system used on trains and cars today.
Okay.
He had over 50 patents to his credit, and people knew that when it was made based on his standards, it was a real good quality. Henceforth, the terminology, the real McCoy, I know you heard of that, right? Hold your applause. I'm not done. Hold your applause. You heard the terminology, the real McCoy?
Right.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, that was pretty much based after him. That's how good his shit was.
Okay.
That's your one. Remember that.
So does anybody know who Philip Downing, Kenny? Co-producer Philip Downing. You got to know him. Nobody else don't know.
Oh.
Philip. Oh no. Who is that?
I don't know. I'm
he's
sure
black
some
man
military
created
guy.
His invention was the mailbox.
Really?
Before he created that, people had to go to the post office to get their mail. Then he created the mailbox.
Wow. Cut that out, right? Just put it in the box. Stop going down to the post office. Cut that out.
Yeah, stop. We're going to drop this off.
Thank you, Philip.
I can appreciate. I mean, it's the little things that you can appreciate. I mean, that you take for granted and don't even realize that you know we're so innovative that we're in everything. We've had our hands in everything as far as you know, shaping and molding this country. Right.
Well, again, and if you think about it from a real simple point of view, those who are doing the work are going to try to find the best way to get that work done. Now, back in those days, the slaves were doing the work. You know, they didn't want to figure out, hey, boss, if you hook that cow up to this plow, I swear to God, your field will get done faster, and I won't be as tired. if from the cow we went to an engine. You know, I mean, so those who are doing the work are always going to be the ones that come out with the better ways to get it done. Because if anybody, if anybody for 1 second believed that Colonel Sanders had his fat ass in the kitchen cooking chicken to come out with Kentucky Fried Chicken, they crazy. If anybody believe that, you know, Colonel Sanders ain't cooking no damn chicken.
Well, there's an old saying, without black labor, there could be no white wealth.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, then. Has anybody ever heard of Frederick McKinley Jones?
No.
Well,
speak on.
No. He revolutionized two industries, cinema and refrigeration. As far as the cinema is concerned, he invented the box office device that automatically dismantles tickets and change to customers.
Wow.
Yeah, because he was working at a movie. He was working in the movie industry, and I guess he saw where, you know, what they were doing wasn't really, you know, being it was a better way to do it, you know. So it's about working smarter, not harder.
What had really happened, why he created that, was they kept beating his ass every night. They thought he was staking all the money. So you're going to create something. So you, that's what it was. So you can stop getting on me about taking your money. Hey, get this machine.
And he also, while driving on a hot summer night, he, you know, it was just hot, and he just couldn't deal with it. And he invented the air conditioning in the car. Well, now, you know, that just blew my mind. You know, I'm like, okay. I mean, you hot like that. And this is a man that had he never went to college. You know, he has no degree. He applied the mechanical experience that he gained at work as a, you know, working in a garage, a mechanic, and he was also in World War I. So he took the knowledge of both of those, and this is what he was able to do.
Wow.
What,
I mean,
where
I
was
just
he driving
that
at?
Was, excuse me?
Where was he driving at on that hot night that made a man say, I got to put some air in this car?
It says while driving on a hot summer night, he resolved to invent an air conditioning for cars and trucks. The benefit was not just for passengers' comfort, but he also found out that trucks who transported meat and produce across the country were getting frustrated because the ice would melt, and as a result, the food would spoil. So he built a refrigeration unit for trucks, which was compact and shockproof, as well as automatic. It used he used it as a self-starting, because he invented the self-starting motor. He patented that as well. And he's also a co-founder of a company that's called King Thermo, which is really still around today.
Right.
What was his name?
Frederick McKinley Jones.
Oh.
Yeah, those are those cabs on the back with the refrigerator, with the air conditioner on.
See?
Right, and he also, and he also went on to invent a portable X-ray machine.
Wow.
So he basically earned over 60 patents for the different things that he's done. And I mean, and as a result of all of that, it improves our life. Everything he invented we're using it today. That's improving our life.
I bet you he ain't get $500,000 for all of those.
No, that wasn't. Again, that was his job to invent shit. You ain't get no money. Once you invent it, they'd be like, "Hold on, let me sign right here for you," and then we'll just make this ours. But again, the inventions that black people have contributed to this Western way of life, is probably unlimited. It's unnumberable.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. It really is. It's mind blowing.
But you know how like you always see the Westerns.
There's a black man that invented the dryer.
The dryer.
Yeah, the black woman did the. Yeah, the black woman did the ironing board.
Yeah.
Because you know why? She said, I'm going to get me a flat piece of wood because ironing on these rocks, this shit ain't working. This ain't working, man. Again, let me make this easier for me. And then once I've done that, then now that others have factories, you mass produce what I just did and don't give me anything, not even a thank you. But you know what? I said, check this out. Did you know one in four cowboys was black, despite the movies told in popular books and movies? Very rarely will you see a black cowboy. But in fact, it's believed that the real Lone Ranger was inspired by an African-American man named Bass Reeves. Reeves had been born a slave. Yeah, Bass Reeves. He was a slave but escaped west during the Civil War, where he lived in what is now known as Indian Territory. He became a deputy U.S. Marshal, was a master of disguise with expert marksmanship, had a Native American companion, and rode a silver horse. But maybe he was the foundation for the Long Ranger. Maybe.
Sounds like it to me.
I bet you know what I'm saying. Look like a duck, quack like a duck. Then damn it, it's a duck.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. You ever heard of a show, Peaches Delaney?
Peaches, no.
A show?
Well, Peaches, that's what her friends called her. But her name is Cheryl Delaney, to Englewood, New Jersey.
Mm-mm.
You never heard her story?
No.
Well, she was working the night shift one night at McDonald's in 1974. She was 16 years old, a junior in high school. You know, she's been severely reprimanded by her manager, one Albert Mahoney, for wearing her afro. He said it was being unprofessional. So he gave her an ultimatum of wearing the clown hat or being fired. And Delaney, working to save money for cosmetology school, she relented and wore the clown hat. Now, hours later, she noticed several of her classmates going through the drive-thru window on their way to a party. It was Lucius Jones, Fred Williams, and Eddie James. And Derek Clemens, they was riding in the green AMC Pacer. The four of them ordered four hamburgers and were going to split three orders of fries and two Cokes. Are you with me? Now, Peaches, who was filling that order, noticed that Mahoney, the manager, had taken his nightly 30-minute bathroom break and had an epiphany. She locked eyes with LaWanda, who was on fries, and Fat Sam, who was on the register. And in a blur of emotion, they stuffed four jumbo bags with 15 hamburgers, five cheeseburgers, and six orders of large fries, accepting only a dollar from Lucius Jones as payment. Now, the moral to this story is Cheryl Peaches Delaney had invented the hookup. We salute you, Cheryl Peaches Delaney. Shout out to Rodney.
That's all right, bro. That's all right. The hookup is important, too.
This
the hookup is important, too.
On the bus. This is like history through the community.
This is shit they don't tell
it.
You.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. So if you ever go through somewhere, well, you know that. Hey, you don't remember the McDonald's days up there on Madison Ave? The hookup?
No.
Yeah.
I ain't going to call nobody name out, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing.
Oh, shit.
I was taking that food, and I was feeding. I was actually feeding families. If you had four or five kids, they had breakfast. They had lunch. Everybody was good. It might have been McDonald's every fucking day, but you ate.
The hookup, that's all right. That's your Black History moment. That's all right.
Invented the hookup. Well, goddamn. Hey, but listen,
there
y'all.
You
know, just like they try to, they try to suppress those inventions that the Black race has contributed to Western culture. Even up to today, I mean, that suppression game is still in effect. They don't suppress us in the manner of yesterday. Now it's about voter suppression. They woke up one day and realized that people of color realized that their vote, most of the time, I would keep it 100, actually means something most of the time. And in this midterm election, this is one of those most of the times. When we talk about suppressing, the Republicans got a, I don't know, man, they got like a full blown strategy to influence the outcome of an election, discouraging and preventing people from exercising the right to vote. It's naturally, when you hear a story like that or intro like that, we don't even have to begin to ask, well, where would this be taking place? we can skip that and go right to the areas where it's a little darker. And again, we've got a vote, and that vote scares the hell out of the older male establishment that don't give a damn about anybody but themselves. It just blows my mind, the nonsense that they're trying to send people through just to be able to cast their vote, because we don't want to hear from you, is what they're saying. I mean, you got voter suppression all over right now. You in Alabama and Georgia,
North Dakota.
Every time we wake up to the nonsense, we're just waking up to that level of nonsense. We understand that again. Most times, our vote has value. So now, what do? They try to stop you from exercising that vote. But you know, it's mind blowing. I mean, I'm going to get back to the voter suppression in a minute. But when you intentionally, for a purpose, I want to bet you, if you sat down and asked them, they wouldn't know. Want to just oppress a group of people or peoples for the no more than the satisfaction of saying you're the big man on the hill. I think that's asinine. I mean, that's to me, that's just crazy. Why would anybody need to have that type of dominance over anybody else? Can anybody answer that?
Mm-mm.
Power.
Just the power of it. I don't know.
And you got to remember, this is something that's been going on from the first time we got the be able to vote.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? They would tell you who to vote for. You know what I'm saying? And now they can't do that. So what they do, they revert back to stopping you from vote. Because, see, that's where the real change come in at. If these votes mattered, then these people wouldn't be in office. That's why you had that gerrymandering and all that. That's how they stay in control. And like I said, if it's one good thing, and this is long before Trump came along, if it's one good thing politicians know how to do, is tap into that core and that white man. You follow me? It's something in them that when they get to a certain age, they start thinking like old white men, and they start voting like old white men, and they start feeling like, yeah, I'm being oppressed. When you can't, when you got privileges, you can't be oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
I know in North Dakota, there that race there, that may be a key to the Democrats taking the Senate in November. So, I mean, at this point now, the Republicans, their strategy is to stop that Native American support. That the who's the individual that's running there? I think her name is Heidi Heidekamp or whatever her name is.
Was it North Carolina?
North Dakota.
Oh.
So what they're doing is, what they're doing with her down in North Dakota is with those Native Americans, most of them live on those reservations. So there's no street addresses or anything on that. They have P.O. boxes. And so now what they're doing is if you don't have a address, then you won't be able to vote. Crazy because, like I said, the majority of them live on reservation camps and they don't have street addresses.
Wow. See, that's just America telling them again, we don't care about what you think, man. We've never
Hello,
cared about what
vote,
you think.
Your vote don't matter. Not to me. Not to me. I don't need your vote. Your vote don't matter.
But the beautiful thing about it is what they're doing is those Native Americans in North Dakota, what they're doing is they're getting together. It's gonna be a huge undertaking to do it, but they're having new IDs printed up because they don't need to go through anyone to like give themselves street addresses over on their reservation camps. They have that authority to do it themselves. So they're doing, like, in mass quantity, trying to print new IDs so they will be with addresses on them so they'll be able to vote.
But again, it's going to be
a huge undertaking to do it.
Yeah. But, see, that problem to me, the federal government should step into that. I mean, but when they allow that to happen, again, no action is actually a vote of confidence for people who do that. And you want to run the country so bad that you understand, think about this now, you understand that people really don't want you to be their voice. So you have to gerrymander and you have to move things around and cheat to get in a position to be the voice of the people. And you know they don't want you to be their voice. So when you get there, you've got no commitment to people. You've got no commitment to anybody but your own self and your own greed.
And your own agenda. You know, that's it.
And down in Florida, what is it? They go make sure Brother Gillum don't get in office, but we gonna get him in there. But what is it? They've got voter lists. They got a voter list that's published already about people who have issues with their voting. Or is that in Florida? People who've got issues. Oh, I'm sorry. Gillum is in Georgia. My mistake. But in Florida, if you've got your name spelled incorrectly.
Gilliam's in Florida.
Yeah, he is in Florida.
I'm sorry, I had it mixed up. Gilliam's in Florida. But now that Stop Minorities, that's going to support his ticket, if your name is spelled incorrectly, because you got a lot of Spanish people down there, Mexicans. If your name is spelled incorrectly, you may not vote. You may not be allowed to vote. Mm. And how do you get that fixed?
And I mean, if you can, will you be able to have it done in time to be able to vote?
And if we just keep it really, really, really 100, I mean, just keeping it what I believe to be true, who gonna go through all of that nonsense? I'm sorry now. Who gonna go through two or three visits to the Social Security Department to get they shit corrected so they can vote? Most people are not gonna go through that. I'm sorry. The only thing that's affecting. Huh?
It's called a deterrent.
Oh, no doubt.
The harder they make it, they know people
exactly.
Gonna throw their hands up and be like, "Fuck this."
And
that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, over a vote. And the only thing that's affected by your address being incorrect is your ability to vote. Most people are not gonna go through the process of getting that fixed. But I really, really hope that you would. I really do, because I'm telling you, these are actual ballots, the ones that they do count. There's no electoral college here. So majority wins here.
Sister Sunshine, in Florida, isn't there something going on now where there were some felons? Well, they're going to allow some felons to be able to vote now. I think it's like over a million of them that are trying to get their rights to vote.
Yes. They're trying to change that amendment that they can give. As long as you're not a child molester or I think a murderer. But a murderer can get, if you're charged with murder, I'm sorry. If you're charged with murder, or if a child molester is like 20 years. Murder, it's 20 years, but you have to show good faith. But they're trying to say, like, as soon as they want to change the, it's an amendment, I think it's a Fourth Amendment or Sixth Amendment. They're trying to change that amendment to allow felons, as long as you don't have one of those two charges, to be able to vote, like as soon as you come home.
Yeah. I mean, now think about this. I do a crime. I go to court. I'm found guilty. The punishment for my crime is I got to go spend 10, 15 years in somebody's prison. I get out, and now I'm still paying for that crime? Really?
Mm-hmm.
But again, that all goes back to who's in jail, okay? Whose rights are we taking away? So it's not an accident that that law is like that. That law is designed that as they send more and more black Americans to jail, a lot of times unnecessarily, not all the time, because we do some shit, but a lot of times unnecessarily, when you come out on a felony charge, you can't vote anymore. So what I've done...
No, it just repeated. It just echoed.
Oh, yeah. So what I've done is I've taken away your masculinity, and then I've taken away any possibility of you ever having a voice in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right. That's not right.
Yeah. And what about those college kids at that Prairie View A&M University down there in Texas?
Texas.
Where they're, I guess where the college is located, it's like 70% white, but it's also, like I said, home to where that historical black college is. And the students there are not being able to, they've been giving them a problem about voting. I think there was just some law just passed now saying that they will be able to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's,
that Prairie View A&M College. A&M University?
Because what happens now is that was a predominantly, you don't even have to go to the polls, that's all Republican. But with this influx of people in there now, that's not diehard Republicans or natives of that area. Or, you know, now that vote's going to change, and they're trying to protect that.
Yeah, well, that college is 80% black, but it's located in an area that's 70% white.
So what's going to happen, right? As soon as if the Republicans can maintain control of the House, they're going to redistrict some things so that school ain't a part of that block of votes right there. That's how we get rid of that. Mm-hmm. We put you in another area where demographically we can make you reduce your value. But again, I keep going back to the concept of, I mean, what the hell is so important, man, about you just enslaving on some level any group of people? I just I'm sorry, I just can't. Don't get
me
wrong. I know it's
the way
of
the world, man. That's the way of the world.
But at some, why though? What the fuck? I mean, why?
Yeah, I understand. Because some people just want to stay on top.
Because
it's not some people. You know who it is.
Stand up, dude.
What happened is, what had happened was, somehow or another, we've come to the understanding that it's survival of the fittest. The strong survives. And so what happens is they realize that they don't have the physical strength, so they use what they call the laws of the mental capacity to outsmart us and stuff. And what's happening is every time they put a roadblock, we find a way around it. So it's taken us 250 years, but we are getting there. They had us in chains. They had us for a while thinking we weren't even human. When they wrote these laws, they didn't have
human.
Us in mind. What's that?
I still don't think they see us as human. Might tolerate some of us more than others.
Right, and you're right. And this is why we still have this gerrymandering and have all of this other stuff where it's okay to do anything to black people, because they don't think of us as human.
I mean, there's some things that are just so outlandish. It's just crazy. Like, you know, I mean, it's with this down in Virginia, the black woman that's running against this other this Republican, where he is the secretary or something in that state. But the bottom line is he's basically overseeing the votes of the race that he's running in, and that's a conflict of interest.
Right.
So he should recuse himself from that other position, but he won't do it. And they're allowing it. Like, you know, she's trying to fight it, you know, the fact that they were going to actually allow this, if she wouldn't have said anything, they would have rolled with it. So it's bizarre. Like, it's just absolutely crazy to me. You know, because some things are just blatant, like you just know it should not be.
Yeah, but that's the way it is, though. If you look back, and it's something that probably the message can touch on from day one, when you have a few that can control many, that's how, if you look at history, that's how it's been going down. It's always a few controlling many, and the many just sit by and let it happen. So what I'm trying to say is, when we getting that revolution started? With me? So that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a revolution. Because as long as this has been going on for how long, and it's not going to end until that's the change that's going to come. Because this kind of change, if it took us 400 years to get here, it's going to take us another 400 years to get there. And I don't know about y'all, but I ain't got another 400 years.
But the revolution is not going to happen because it's still many who will lay with them, who will smile with them, who will socialize with them.
That's why we got to weed them out.
Who think they will take them over them. We weed them out.
We got to weed them. They weed them out and test them out.
Breed with them. So.
Well, you gotta sleep with them to get some information to find out what's going on. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with that, Dale. I understand that.
You got to take one for the team. You got to take one for the team.
Or give it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to, but I'm gonna go ahead and do this. Cause that voting, they got that unlocked down. Every time it's time to vote, it's the same old thing.
But
and the courts are working with them,
though.
Too,
we
now.
We still got to get out there and vote, though. Don't let it discourage you, because that's what they're trying to do.
Oh, no.
You
got to
get out there and vote.
But I'm saying, but in certain places, believe it or not, your vote don't mean shit.
A lot
they got
of places.
The votes they want. That, too, yeah. They got the votes they want. That's why they're there. That's why they've been there 30, 40 years. They got the vote. That's a lot.
Well,
so
I think that's just too long for anybody to hold a position anyway. They need to definitely change that.
That's why we had that revolution. We put in some new shit. Hey, you get 6 years. If the president get 4, you get 6. And then you're out of here. And then you're out of here. If you ain't steal or make whatever money, you know, you can do that shit. But when 6 years come, your time's up. You got to go.
It's the next man's
time
to steal, right? Lie and steal, okay.
Get somebody else time to steal. Because you might get in there with good intentions, but after you see how the game is played, it's like, shit, I ain't going to sit up here and watch all this money go by. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put some of this money in my pocket. Just don't get caught.
And the sad part is that's so true.
Because you always got good intentions, but them lobbyists come at you with all that money and shit. Hell. And you see everybody else, when they leave an office, they old and millionaires and all that. You want to be a millionaire?
Say, I want some things.
Yeah. Exactly. Like my man said at Rosewood, I ain't got no piano. He was mad because Don Cheadle had a piano. I ain't got no piano. Nigga couldn't play piano, but he wanted one. And they burnt that city down based on the law. And they knew ain't no black man touch her, but they was pissed because the black man had something. They picked the wrong side of town. See, the black people chose the good side of town. They chose the bad side of town. Anytime, like I said, though, anytime you let a bunch of people, why do you think from time to time they have riots in prison? Yeah, they need to be locked up. But at a certain point, they know they're outnumbered, and sometimes some of them be like, you know what, fuck it. We got to do something to draw attention to the shit that's going on here. Now, what I'm going to need is, see, especially in my battalion, I'm going to need a couple of people to go on up there and be that Christmas addict. I'm going to need you to take that, like Denzel Washington. And
take that
Maury,
L for the team.
There you go. There you go. And if you turn your body just the right way, you know, you might take it in the shoulder and the ass. Take it.
Take that.
You know what I'm saying? Just take that shit. And just be quiet. Take it and, you know, just take it. You'll be all right. So we all shall overcome.
It's a natural correction.
Yeah, and then we can have that memorial. We can have that memorial. And we can have that memorial. And I can read your name. We can ring the bell. I can read your name and shit. Like they do every, what, September 11th?
Mm-hmm.
Where they just fuck up the airways and read names all day. Yeah, I understand it, but, you know, to a certain extent, they need to stop televising that shit. I get it.
Why? You don't want to see it no more? You're done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
He said,
had I been working there and I was all the way up there on them floors, see, I'd have been smart enough to know eventually something going to happen, a fire, maybe a plane might hit this shit, but I'm coming to work with a parachute. Every fucking day. and when that first plane hit, and that boss was like, yeah, just stay in your seat. And I was in building number two. I looked at him and waved my hand, man, fuck you, I'm out. See what happens?
I got my parachute.
Right, man,
I got my parachute, I'm out.
I ain't got my parachute. The elevator's still working. This building is fine. I'm going down to see what happened. From street level.
Three blocks away.
And there you go. And I'm going to look up. Oh, that's a fire. That building on fire. So what we need to do is we need to get out there and vote. And if that don't work this time around, revolution. You know what I'm saying? You need to sign up. But first, let's try voting. So, you know, I need all my young people to get out there. Pull your pants up. If you're a felon, don't try it because they're going to pull your card. You don't need to be out there trying to vote. You know what I'm saying? I understand you just got out of jail.
They're
going
to tap you on your shoulder. They're going to tap you on your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
What you doing here, young man?
And then that's just going to fuck it up for everybody else. Now they're talking about voter fraud and all that shit.
Fraud.
Now, I understand you might drive around with no license, but you can't vote without, you know, being registered. I know you think it's one and the same,
right.
But no. You got a better chance of driving around with no license and not getting caught than you do trying to vote without being registered.
Well,
and if we do that, that'll be that. Maybe that'll work, but once again, you got to have that fallback plan, and that's that revolution. You know, there was
before we go too deep into revolution, let's give voters a chance.
That's the time, dude, when
people used to actually go and snatch people out of office. If they wasn't doing what they was doing, they would snatch people out of office and handle that. And then go out there and pick somebody.
The revolutionaries.
Thank you.
When they were snatching people out of office, really? Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Why you think you remember that picture? Who's that? Mussolini? When they finally got a hold of him? What they do, they strung that nigga right up in the town square, and that was the next person that took office. No,
okay, let me get in here just
in
for
there,
one second.
Your
man.
Ass better do good.
Okay, so here we go, folks. We've heard the monologue about your ass better do good. Let me break that down into some more digestible shit, all right?
Look, or for the other people, listen.
You need
real
to
quick,
find a buddy,
people,
find
your
a
ass
friend.
Needs to do good earn.
Find a buddy, find a friend. make sure that they register. Make sure they vote. Your vote is so important, especially, again, to the people of the race in which I belong. Every vote's important. Don't get me wrong. But I say this, and I don't say this jokingly. We need to get the Democrats back in office and then monitor their ass. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Hey, so let's
Absolutely.
Get out there. Let's support Brother Gillum down in Florida. Again, let's support the whole Democratic blue ticket wave. Again, we have to have a little more sensibility in the White House. And I hope that by turning red to blue, that we put a squash on some of the dumbass shit that this nation is being exposed to right now. So that's my vote. That's my call for voter registration. Time is running out. Don't be one of those people who find out at the last minute that you could have done something to make your voice heard. That's right. Move quickly. Let's get down. Let's register.
Right.
Move
don't
quickly,
talk
folks.
About it. Be about it. Yep. Don't
Boy,
talk about it. You got to be about
expeditiously.
It.
Expeditiously.
Expeditiously. Mm. Hey, but this is a co-producer, Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. Check us out. you like the way I was closing? No, check us out every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. We had a special time tonight, 10:30, but we're going to stay 10 o'clock every Wednesday night, The Attic. Good night, cast.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Night, night.